Well, it is indeed great to have you all here, and hello to everybody in the balcony. Thank you for the waves from up there. And it's lovely, even the sound desk are waving at me, so I'm quite scared now in case he mutes me. But great to have the different parts of the cathedral filled this morning. The day of Pentecost was a stormy day. It really was a storm of the Spirit. And that's our theme this morning, a storm of the Spirit. Now, there are many images of the Spirit. And of course, we can meet the Holy Spirit in a quiet place and feel Him speaking into our hearts intimately. We have the image of a dove coming gently. And that is true. All of those images are true. But the image we have on the day of Pentecost is the Ruach, the wind of the Spirit. And it was a mighty and a violent wind that blew through the house. So we need to be open to the Spirit speaking in all sorts of ways, very personally, quietly, coming like a dove. But also, maybe we pull back a little bit from that ruach, that wind of the Spirit. And Pentecost is a time to be open to that. Did any of you see the news on Thursday evening and the guy standing on the front in Newcastle? Did you feel sorry for him? Well, he was standing there and there was a storm coming down on him. And even the weather presenters apologized that he was in the studio, and they'd sent this reporter out, and he was absolutely soaked. You could hardly see him because of the rain on the camera, and it really was a storm. Now, the days before weren't so bad. And really, then, when the storm came on Thursday, it was a shock to all of us. And a storm is a shock to the system. It sort of catches us unawares, no matter how many times we watch the weather forecast. And the day of Pentecost was a shock for all of those who had gathered in Jerusalem. Herbert Taylor was a missionary, and he went with his family. And he was there for a while serving as a missionary. And I don't know what the weather was like there, but he needed a car for his missionary service. And so he got this car. The one problem was it wouldn't start. It was grand once it got going, but it wouldn't start in the mornings. So he was very ingenious. He went to the school that was next door and he said, "Look, in the mornings, if I'm going out in the car, could you give me a few pupils to give it a push, and that'll get it going?" And this was a great arrangement. He had the pupils came out, they gave him a push, and it kick-started it. If he was doing a short visit, well, then he just left the car running. Or if he was doing a longer visit, he parked at the top of a hill, and hopefully it would start as he went down. Anyway, after about 2 years for family reasons, they had to move on. And there was a handover period, and a new missionary came, and he explained to him, "Look, this, I've arranged this with a school, park at the top of the hill, it'll get the car going." And the new guy said, "That's great. Let me just take a look under the bonnet." And he took a look under the bonnet, and he said, "Do you know what? You know, there's a wireless here. If we just connect it, you know, I think the car will start fine." So he got in and he connected the wire and he went in, turned the ignition, and the car started first time. And we need to make that connection to the power of the Holy Spirit. I had a light changed in my house during this week, and the light switch hadn't been working. The electrician took it off. And he said, "There are bare wires there. Not only was it not working, but if it had connected, it might have exploded." So we need to be connected. We need to be connected in the right way with the power of the Spirit flowing through our lives. And as we think about this power of the Spirit, well, then we need to be seeking that power. Now, this past year has undoubtedly been a very challenging time for us in all sorts of ways. Perhaps even spiritually, many people have gone through a crisis. And, you know, being separated from each other has been very difficult. And, you know, we can have a crisis of faith. Many years ago, a guy called Duncan Brown was invited to speak at a mission. And he got the invitation in advance. But for a period of 4 months, he described himself as Jacob wrestling with an angel. He wrote, "For a month God wrestled with me. There is a love that will not let us go. Glory be to God." And this wrestling, as he had this crisis of faith, feeling that he was the last person who should be speaking at a mission, continued on, and that wrestling, like Jacob wrestling with an angel, continued. And then just before his departure to speak at this week of mission, as he felt deeply ill-equipped, while praying on his knees at 2 a.m., his dog licked his face. And Duncan felt only loveless. And then something happened. He wrote this. He wrote, "I found myself in the living embrace of Christ forever and ever. All power and joy, all blessedness rolled in like a deluge. How did it come? I cannot tell you. Perhaps I may when I get to heaven. All explanations are there, but the experience is here. God had waited 4 months for a man like me, and I said, 'Lord Jesus, I know what you want. You want me to go into mission work. I love you more than I dislike you.' I did not hear a rustling of angels' wings. I did not see a sudden light, but I experienced the reality of the Spirit coming and giving me fresh power." In other words, Duncan Brown experienced an epiphany of love and of joy and of power. And you know, we can sometimes pull back from power. The reason I had an electrician in during the week to change a light is I'm frightened of the power of electricity, that I'll be shot across the room if I touch wires or anything like that. And you know, spiritually, we can be afraid of the power of the Spirit. But we need that power of the Spirit to fill us with a deluge of love and joy and of power in the name of Jesus and for his kingdom and to take it forward. The storm of the Spirit came at Pentecost. Acts 2 and verses 1 to 2. And it reads like this. "When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. And suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting." And it's great because I've arranged the sound effects. I don't know if you can hear it on the screen, but it is now raining down heavily on the roof of the cathedral. Thank you, God. So the wind came, the storm of the Spirit came at Pentecost. And they saw, we saw at the start there Sam with his brilliant fire in front of him. And that's exactly what happened on the day of Pentecost, that a ball of fire appeared. And then they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. The fire of the Spirit filling each heart and life and doing a new work in their lives. And this was a fulfillment of John the Baptist's prophecy in Luke 3 and verse 16, whenever he said that Jesus would baptize not just with water, but will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And the fire of the Spirit is what we need in our hearts and souls and lives, that fire of the Spirit to bring growth. What happened on the day of Pentecost was a dramatic change in the life of those early disciples and of those apostles. Remember that they had been ones who had gone to hide away and who had run from their calling. And then Jesus told them to wait. And they waited for the Spirit to come. 50 days they waited. And then the Spirit came and blew new life into each of them. The cross is the point at which the Spirit's reality is made real. And we need to come to the cross and to experience there our need for repentance, our need for holiness, our calling to seek the lost, the poor, and those in trouble. And so it begins at the cross. And in a sense, it was after the cross and after the resurrection that Jesus told them to wait for the Spirit to come. And he was saying, you will be filled with the Spirit. It will come in your lives, but wait and seek me. And that's what they did. And as the Spirit came, so revival came on the early church. And I heard a story this week about revival, that so often we sort of go, oh yes, I want all of these gifts. I want to be used in mighty ways by God. But the illustration was, I think it came from Helen Roosevelt, that we need first of all to think that there needs to be less of us. And so if we want to know the Spirit's power and see revival, well then we should be drawing a circle around our lives and putting the cross in the center and then saying, I want more of Jesus, more of the cross, more of him and less of me. And then the Spirit comes, as it did at Pentecost, to anoint those early disciples, to send them out with a clear message, a new power, the storm of the Spirit coming and filling lives anew. So let's seek that storm of the Spirit, and let's not be afraid of that storm of the Spirit. Ronald Rollheiser puts it like this: Pentecost happened at the meeting. One of the central events that shaped Christian history and history in general happens not to an individual praying alone. It happened to the community, to a church congregation assembled for prayer, to a family of faith gathered to wait for God's guidance. And maybe that's what we need to learn at this day of Pentecost, that we need to be together in whatever ways we can, to have that hunger and thirst for the Spirit to come on us corporately as well as individually. And what happened was astonishing on the day of Pentecost. It didn't stop there. It's as real today as it was 2,000 years ago. So let's be open to the storm of the Spirit. And then let's seek the Spirit-filled life. And Billy Graham makes it clear that the Spirit-filled life is for every believer. He said, all Christians are to be filled with the Spirit. Anything short of a Spirit-filled life is less than God's plan for each believer. To be Spirit-filled is to be controlled by the Spirit's presence and power. And that Spirit-filled life is what each of us need. God can use one person to change thousands of lives, to bring people to faith. But I strongly believe he loves to use his church, not only as individuals, but together to seek to grow in that power of the Spirit. And the apostles knew that they needed to grow. They went from being downcast believers to being liberated by the Spirit filling their lives. They craved the gold refined in fire and the new clothes of the newly baptized and a fresh penetrating vision. They desired the wine of the Holy Spirit, and they desired for their community the Father's gifts, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So the outcome then, well, it was spiritual and practical. The word spread miraculously, and the Spirit was poured out. And as Acts 2, verse 21 tells us, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord was saved. Some of you may know that in the last month or so that my daughter gave birth to a little baby boy, and he's called Peter Adamson. And they were very diplomatic, because obviously we've a son, Peter, and he's named after him, and he's named also after, on the other side, on the Adamson side, his great-great-grandfather. And his great-great-grandfather, Peter Adamson, was a man of faith. He had a passion for the gospel on the Shetland Islands. And I'm told that Peter Adamson was also a man of prayer. Many years ago, filled with the Holy Spirit and convinced of the power of God to transform lives, he became part of a small group who met together to pray for revival on the island of Shetland. In fact, I'm told he would often travel for miles on his bicycle and arrive to find that he was the only one to have come that night. But undeterred, he would stay for several hours to pray. And later, he was to be a founder member of a church whose aim it was to seek the lost and to see people come to know Jesus as their Savior. And the transforming power of the Holy Spirit meant that people grew in faith, that their lives were filled with the fire of the Holy Spirit, and they prayed for a fresh outpouring of the Spirit's power on the Shetland Islands. And this led to many people coming to know Jesus and to the growing of new churches that continue to make disciples today. And many in Peter Adamson's own family also came and continue to come to faith in Jesus. We need that passion for the gospel, that willing to put ourselves out, to get on our bicycles, to pray, to seek revival, to pray for the growth of the church, to pray for the lost to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. It is so exciting to see the church as filled as we can have it this morning. We've still got a long way to go. And God uses the church to grow believers. In Acts 2 and verse 4, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And that is our prayer, that the church will continue to grow, the church of Jesus Christ. And it is great that we have good cooperation amongst the churches in this city. And it's a joy to share in that. So we want to grow here. We want the Presbyterians to grow. We want the Roman Catholics to grow. We want the Baptists to grow. We want every denomination to grow. We want everyone to crave the gold refined in fire, the white clothes of the newly baptized, and a penetrating vision for growing the kingdom of God. A storm is a shock, but it can be a good shock. And we should, first of all, seek that we be filled with the Holy Spirit. That filling with the Holy Spirit, not an optional extra. It may be in the quiet of your prayer time or as you read the Bible. It may be in a meeting with others. It may be that God anoints you for a new ministry or a new vision for the ministry that you have. But seek the filling of the Holy Spirit. And secondly, then, be filled with joy. I think it was Pascal who said that when he experienced the Spirit's filling, he experienced joy, 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 inexpressible joy. In other words, he experienced a deluge of joy. My goodness, who of us here today wants more joy? Yeah, we want more joy, and the Spirit comes to give us joy. And joy is a deep experience in our hearts that sustains us and that sends us out afresh with joy that goes beyond circumstances, that is a vision-setting thing that sets a new path. And when we experience the Spirit, well, then we experience a new joy. And then thirdly, be filled with passion for the Church of Christ. Because we are at a turning point. It's great this morning to have music. It's great to have all of you here. We do hope those watching will all be able to join us in person in the coming months. And indeed, when the time's right, that we'll be able to bring in more seats and gather together. But that passion for the church needs to be there, for the church to be reimagined, to come back anew, and with a fresh vision, with a fresh desire to reach the lost and the poor and those who are struggling, to be at the very heart of where needs are, to be filled with a passion for the Church of Christ. A storm is a shock. And a storm of the Spirit can shake us from head to toe. And that shaking of the Spirit, that shaking from head to toe, can open our lives to see clearly that God wants each of us to be filled with the Spirit, to grow as disciples, to grow as a church, to grow as witnesses for the gospel. And all of this, not of ourselves, but through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. We can't have prayer ministry at the front, but I'd love you to turn and just reach a hand out to somebody that you're not sitting with, and I'm going to pray for a fresh outpouring of the Spirit on all of those in church this morning. And as I lift my hand, I'm praying for all of those who are watching on screen. So if you'd like to lift a hand and I'll pray for us. Lord God, we pray for the storm of your Spirit. Take away all fear. Take away all sort of holding back in our lives. And we pray that your Spirit would fall afresh on each and every one of us today. It may be in the quiet word. It may be in passionate prayer. It may be in a fresh revelation, in a storm of the Spirit hitting our lives. But Lord, we pray for your Spirit to come. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in our lives. Come and do a new work in us. And may we be open to being filled with joy, with hope, with life, and with a passion to be your witnesses. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen.